If you see something, say something. At Reply, weird things come with any weird story you find on the web, and you can help make weirdthings.com even weirder.
Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com. Hey, buddy. Justin here. My buddy, I mean everybody listening, because you're all my friends. You know who else is my friend? Tom Merritt. You might know him from Tech News Today, Sword and Laser, but he also does a podcast called FSL Tonight. With who? Me. That's who. It's a fictitious sports league comprised of all sorts of science fiction and fantasy characters. Now, that might seem a little confusing, but the good news is there's a video where we explain it. You can go on over to Kickstarter.com and just search FSL Tonight, and you'll come up to a page where we explain everything about the league. Oh, also it's on Kickstarter because we're having a Kickstarter. Our third season is going to be completely ad-free, and we got some really sweet perks if you are interested in this concept or already listen to the podcast. So head on over to Kickstarter, search for FSL Tonight, and back it if you want. If you don't, no sweat. Seriously, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. It's very niche, you know. I'm not begging you for money here. Seriously, I am kind of, though. Please, give me money. Welcome to Weird Things. My name is Justin Robert Young. I'm joined, as always, by Brian Brushwood.
Hey, man. I'm going to tweet out that we're doing this. Like, it shouldn't be a secret. Like, we're ashamed of bringing back Weird Things. I'm going to tell the world. It's like me taking off my clothes and saying I was born a boy.
I'll tell you what. That is a stunning realization. One that I'm sure will blow the mind of the other guests we have on this podcast. Joining us, the invisible wife, Bonnie Brushwood. How
Hello.
You doing, Bon?
Glad to be back. And I got a little sidekick, too. Evidence that I know Brian's a boy. Callie's sitting on my lap. So, yeah. She usually is kind of chill at this time of night. So we'll see.
Jury's still out.
By which I mean totally me. Convinced. I'm stepping out. That's me. So long. Jury says bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to this, then you are likely now wondering where Andrew Main is. Well, I will tell you, my friends, that he is on assignment in Los Angeles. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we can have more information on what he is doing. But just so you know, that is the reason why he is not here. He is
Justin,
working on something really awesome.
Real quick, I hear you saying a bunch of words, but you're not answering the allegations by someone, a certain journalist. I'm not going to say she's from The Guardian, but let's just say she's from The Guardian.
Yeah.
How do you answer The Guardian's accusations that it's your and my success with Night Attack 2 and Joy the Garden and its two-week stint at the number one spot on the Billboard top comedy
and that
charts?
Unceremonious plummet from the charts.
Well, okay, look, let's. I don't remember asking you anything about what happened next. But the fact, like, how do you respond to people who claim that it's the fact that you and I had a 20 minutes of success with our comedy album and that's been the reason?
Here's the deal. It's not that at all. We basically, Andrew is going to be working on this cool thing, and it's taken a while for our schedules, me and Brian's schedules, to kind of align. And also, We didn't want to do it without a third co-host. And so we kind of kicked it around for a few weeks to see what we wanted to do going forward. And so Bonnie's going to fill in a bunch. We're going to hopefully have a bunch of other people that are going to rotate in with Bonnie. And if Bonnie is unable to make it, then with the two of us. And we're going to be able to continue having a good, solid, Weird Things program. And Andrew will join us as often as he can. So that's the reason why we haven't been on for a while. It's just taken us a while to figure it out. Also, we're lazy. And
yes,
the second explanation is way more why we've taken so many weeks off than the first.
All of these are true, but how do you respond to The Guardian's consistent request.
I don't know if you even know what The Guardian is, Brian.
It's that British newspaper, right?
Oh, they're British, that's right? Right. You were in The Guardian.
The fact that you don't know tells me that you're not ready for it.
They're the ones who reported on the Diamond Club. If I'm not, The Guardian, that's right. I'm pretty sure, reported on the Diamond Club. How do you respond to The Guardian's requests that we talk about a weird thing?
Brian, you're going to die one day.
No, oh, that's true, man.
Wait.
I'm already half dead inside.
Oh, don't say that.
It's like in front of my infant daughter. Hi, sweetheart, your father is a corpse.
Oh, gosh. Well, I did read it on like Yahoo Questions or something.
Oh, my God. Did you see that?
Yes, apparently Yahoo Answers already has Brian as dead.
And flippantly so. Somebody 4 years ago asked, is Brian Brushwood dead? And then, like, no hesitation, someone was like, yep, he totally is. And then it voted up to number one. Like, apparently it's wishful thinking.
Aww.
Now, Bonnie.
Yes.
Obviously, at the point that Brian shuffles off this mortal coil, people will want to remember him. Let's assume that we are living in a world where, unlike what is currently happening, Brian's a wild success.
Yes, correct.
Oh.
Let's imagine a world where Brian doesn't have to communicate entirely in animated GIFs.
Let's say that Brian is at the top of his field, a national icon.
Sure.
Someone for whom there are Brian Brushwood magic schools, scam school branded magic schools, a new national craze that opens up across the country, and there's a retail chain of these stores yeah. that exist.
Dude,
long
like,
after he dies.
Like moms oh are wearing, like they're driving around in their minivans, and they have bumper stickers that just say F Hogwarts, and then there's like a BB logo.
Really?
Yeah, like I wouldn't send my kid to Hogwarts. And there's like vague accusations of like sexism in Hogwarts. Like it says Hogwarts 39% ? Mm. And then like you're supposed to know that that means that only 39% of teachers are female in Hogwarts. Oh. And then the like Hogwarts.
I think you're really going. Now you've ruined the illusion,
yes,
Brian. We had a real credible illusion here going with you being the successful proprietor of a chain of magic retail entities, and then you had the 39% bumper sticker. It wasn't even just the first F Hogwarts bumper sticker, which, by the way, is so good, I'm surprised you don't already sell it on StubHub.
Probably is.
All right,
it's up
real
now.
Real quick, note to John, start selling F Hogwarts stickers.
Right.
Also, I'm committed to this 39%. Why are you defending this this
Brian
mate patriarchal hegemony?
All right. Moving along.
So this is why you're dead, because you keep saying stupid things, and eventually it causes
this is
you
what kills me. Got it.
You. Right.
Bonnie?
Yes.
Obviously, Brian was an outsized personality, the kind of person whose legacy demands a larger-than-life fitting tribute.
Is this about his, like, image? His,
dude, I don't
his
know.
Body dysmorphia or whatever?
Body, it's me! Shut up!
Okay, sorry.
He's about to say something about me! I'm dead! This is all I have! Listen to his proposal!
Okay, go ahead.
So let's say the city of Austin comes to you and says, hey, listen, there's a part of our public park where it would be okay for you to build a statue to Brian.
Bobby. Are they going to get rid of that something another Devon?
Get rid of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
There you go.
That asshole sucks.
They're going to put Brian.
You need Brian. I'm going to remind the ghost of Brian Brushwood to please not curse so I don't have to edit this podcast.
I only said it's rock and roll, Justin.
Right, ghost.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
For some reason, word gets back to you that it is carte blanche. You can have things be extravagant as possible. It's not even just a statue. There, you can do whatever you want. That would just be a fitting, almost a monument to Brian.
Hologram. Oh. Have a hologram.
Okay.
And the hologram should be a bootleg copy of the Avengers that plays at all times.
Like, as the ghost is yelling whatever, Bonnie's turning up the radio, turning up the Sonos or whatever, so her Pandora station's playing louder so she can start thinking.
What do you want? What are you going to do?
What would I do?
Yeah. You're in charge of my estate, girl. I didn't name you in my will for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't name you in my will for nothing.
All right, all right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm like going, man, I played second fiddle to that MF so long. I'm going to make this about me, baby.
So it should be like the monument will be like Bonnie Brushwood tolerated Brian for like 20 years or something. No, it's like an illicit in that language.
No. Oh, no, I think I would probably go with some kind of artsy route because it's like left up to me, right? Unless we
totally up to you. And really, the word you get back is bigger the better. Let's sketch it out. Broad
so,
sketches.
Like, I'm thinking some kind of spatial, like a really large area in which when you walk through it, you have a magical experience.
Body,
where
I'm here. I'm still watching. Just apparently, right. You don't realize that.
What?
So something that you could walk through. So how big are we talking?
A thing, like, you would walk. That's all you come up with.
How long would it take for people to walk through it? And I can put ghosts. Yeah. Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to throw the salt in a circle,
right.
So like the ghost is confined to a place.
Thank you.
I'm good. Screw you guys. I'm gonna go look at. I'm gonna hang out at Sugar's.
Great comeback, Ghost.
I feel like it would be some kind of maze. Right off, I would think it would be maze.
All right.
Oriented,
so, I mean, would you want fire?
Yeah.
Again, over the top. Let's really blue
that's
sky this
true.
One.
True. Like, if we can have maintenance. I mean, that's the thing. It's like.
Yeah,
whatever
you want.
All that's covered. Like, whatever your fantasy is,
right.
They got the cash for it.
Okay, well, there would definitely be fire involved. Because, I mean, yeah. Come on, this is Brian Brushwood. And then it would be modeled after, like, there's one photo that that got taken, and then everybody uses it on their promos of him. So it'd be modeled off of that. And
which one?
I don't know. You all naked. Top naked with your
one where I'm doing the fire blast.
Yeah, you're doing a fire blast. All right.
Now, is that the shape of the maze, or
no? I think there is a statue somewhere in there.
So that's in the middle of the maze.
Yeah,
and it's actually
blowing.
Are
there any other elements of Brian's life that you would like to immortalize as part of this tribute?
Well.
It's what we call softball and comedy, Bonnie. Don't screw this up.
Oh, my gosh. Other parts are... Wait.
What else really says Brian Brushwood that you can immortalize in this memorial?
You mean his podcasting? Giant phallic symbol that is a...
Is she cautiously ventures with? You mean his podcasting?
I don't know what you want me to say.
No, that was a genuine question.
And well, all of a sudden I felt like I was
Although
being
I
led down
a path. Although I also want to point out that in the phrase large phallic symbol, the word that was said with the most trepidation was large.
It's legit. All of this is true.
Yeah. So
maybe
anyway.
Maybe it's better. My spirit lives on in the ambiguously amorphous genitalia.
Brian's just pictured forever speaking into this large microphone.
Is the statue glowing pink as he lived in life?
Yeah.
Did you like my tweet earlier today?
Did you read Bonnie's tweet?
I don't know if I saw that tweet.
She pointed out that Bonnie's started off very discursive with, like, many Mary Kay vehicles appear to be a certain shade of pink that you would normally find in a sex shop. and then she says, here's a photo of a giant dildo in a driveway. And then she takes a photo of somebody's Mary Kay success minivan.
I mean, you just that shade of pink should not be that big. It's just disconcerting.
Would you want a giant dildo as part of Brian's?
No.
But like on fire, though. That wouldn't do anything. Fire.
Ooh, that sounds horrible. Like diseased or something.
All right, so we're looking at maze.
We got maze
features, some eternal flame, Brian shirtless. In what I've always thought to be a very hayseed photo of Brian
next
to all of this
an abandoned building,
totally legit.
This is a statue, though. But
yeah, in a statue, you look less hayseed. It's a Einstein proved that once.
Right.
And Feynman, like, have you ever seen Feynman without a shirt?
Yeah.
Sure. So there's science. Go.
Yeah.
Boom.
But yeah, so he would finally be over his body dysmorphia and like be like, look at me blowing fire for all eternity.
So here we go. So even shave 5 pounds off the picture just
definitely
can live his life.
Shave 25 pounds. I still look fat.
Well, you go to Austin City Council, and you propose the final plan for the Brian Brushwood Memorial, and you are rejected.
What? I was told this was a shoe-in.
Don't worry, I'll haunt the hell out of them.
Oh, man. What's it? Are they?
You're playing Call of Duty Black Ops? I'll take a black ghost dump on your couch.
I tell you what, it's all these like fire precautions. They're all saying, oh, and Brian's going. Brian the Ghost is saying, you know, it's about the same amount of flame as is on a birthday cake. So.
That's right. That was a bit Bonnie did just for the one guy who has to use that phrase for thousands of gigs as he explains to safety officers why they shouldn't ban the fire eating outright.
So maybe the fire wasn't a good idea. Tell me what happened. Why have we been rejected in this?
It's the story of Al Copeland, the founder of Fried Chicken and Biscuits outfit, Popeye's Chicken and Biscuits.
Seriously?
The guy who created Popeye's?
His family, he has unfortunately passed away. And as a tribute to him, in his hometown of Metair, Louisiana, in Lafreniere Park.
Oh, my.
they wanted to build a big tribute to him.
Right.
Unfortunately, their plans were a little too big because it not only included a statue of him waving a checkered flag with a speedboat behind him.
Seriously?
But also surrounded by Roman columns.
Oh, yes, why not?
God, that's so tacky.
No, this is amazing. Look, any man who can invent biscuits so laden with grease that to squeeze them causes them to snap, crackle, and pop, that man deserves a checkered flag and Roman columns.
Is that part of their advertising?
No, that's Brian's advertising. Like, you want to see you see these ads, Peppa's Chicken for Less or whatever their ad is. It's like, no. It's like Super Bowl, smash cut to me staring at you. Give 3 seconds of looking in the eye, and then me hold up one finger, and I lift up one of Popeye's biscuits, and I just half squeeze it, and you hear. And at first, you're like, what is that sound? But then it macro zooms in, and you're watching the grease coming in and out of all the pores.
Macro
zoom in, and you see like just the oil dripping over my thumb. Go.
And then the camera zooms in, and then takes some photos of your cardiovascular veins.
Okay, what are you, Ralph Nader? Don't do this to me. Okay. This is like at this point we got America sold. They're like, I want biscuits so greasy they sing to me.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'll tell you who wasn't singing, Brian. The city council, when they rejected what is described by the New Orleans Times-Picayune as Al Copeland Jr.'s plan for his father, Al Copeland, to have a life-size statue of him holding a box of Popeye's fried chicken with a checkered racing flag, a speedboat at his feet, and at the point where 8 different walkways, which would have 8 different pillars at the end of them, meet at the center.
Okay.
Wow.
Now I'm getting like legitimately mad because this is an argument of aesthetics. It's like, look, yes, those are crass commercial images. They're also who this person was, who obviously had a legendary impact on this community. Like, I wish more of these BS immortalizations of people we had were honest like this. It's like, you know, we want to make a freaking statue of Bill Gates with him giving the middle finger extended to malaria, and also a flaming copy of Windows 98 with, like, the image of Steve Jobs and his arms crossed like super mad in there. Like, let's represent people the way they actually were and remembered. Let's not make up a bunch of crap that's bogus.
Now, the city advisory board came back to them and suggested a more subdued reminder of Copeland.
Oh, getting mad hearing this. Keep going.
They said perhaps the family could sponsor a labyrinth in the park.
You see? I'll tell you what.
It could also be a formal garden. When the family got that response, they said that Mr. Copeland, of course referring to the son, not the father, didn't feel that that reflected his father's personality and rejected their substitution plans.
Look, man, dude, this is totally, I'm on the family side on this. Like, okay, the argument is your vision is gross, therefore I'm going to say no. And it's like, screw you, man. Just because you got appointed, nobody elected you, person.
I mean, somebody might have elected. I don't know if you're an expert on this city council's laws.
I am in my mind. I said you got, in fact, you've been banished from the land, according to me. Now get out of here.
As a taxpayer, I don't want to pay for anything tacky. It's just.
Oh, no. This would all be funded by the Copeland family.
Oh! Where's your excuse now, woman?
I don't have one. Now, why wouldn't they be able to build this?
And like, I would.
Because it's city ground.
It doesn't have
to be approved. But part of what they want to build is also a stage. And that's something that right now the park doesn't have.
Right.
And the supporters of this memorial are saying, quote, there's not exactly a lot of people beating down the gate saying, here's a bunch of money for Lafernier Park.
Oh, so the money.
Yeah, man, these guys are going to come in and build an awesome statue of a dude holding chicken in a box.
A box of fried chicken with his speedboat in the background.
Dude, come
on. Waving a checkered flag.
This can't tell me this is it. The only thing that would be better is if he was just like Go Bears underneath it as well. freaking as red state as you could get. This belongs.
The son is saying that right now it's not dead. They are in the process of working with the city for the design of the statue. But they are even proposing that the paved walkway to the statue be laid with quote-unquote memorial bricks that would be set up and purchased through the Al Copeland Foundation to raise money for cancer research. So it could be a net benefit for cancer research that people would be able to be a part of this civic gesture.
So here's the thing. What's his name? Salvador Dali said, or was alleged to say, essentially, what a pity that so little of what could happen does. By which he meant, what a shame that when you go to a fancy restaurant and you order a steak, not once does anyone show up with a telephone book on fire. They almost always come back with the steak. And it's like, we need more weird in this world. We need more ridiculousness in this world, and I want a statue of a dude with a chicken box on his with his foot on a speedboat and a checkered flag.
You went with us to Dollywood, right?
Not weird enough. There was too much heart in it. It's like, okay, look, mm-hmm. Dollywood exists because Dolly Parton really did get a bajillion dollars, and she really did care about her local area that she came from, and so she really did make this kind of backwoods, amazing roller coaster park where it's all about, like, you know, people made moonshine in this here cabin. Now ride upside down on this coaster. It's like all of that was true heart, which meant, like, I could understand all of that, even if I didn't agree with the art. Like, I want weird
crap.
They
got American Eagles and cages.
I want like American
Eagles.
I mean,
is there a lot of like boob puns? I assume at Dollywood.
No, it's all just butterflies. They got butterflies everywhere.
It's not like, hey, I'm Dolly Parton. Remember my chest?
Right. Why don't you have a jug of popcorn? And by jugs, I'm talking about my tits.
I was just thinking what the popcorn containers would look like.
Two for one, Bon.
Two for one. Buy one, get one. That's what I say. Welcome to Dollywood.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Weird Things is brought to you by listeners, patient listeners like you. Thank you for sticking with us, and thank you for providing the sounding board to let us know that if we came back, you guys would be pumped to hear us again. So let us know. I'll tell you what. Who would you like to hear on the show? Hit us up, WeirdThings, at WeirdThingsCom on Twitter. Let us know other people that have either been on the show in the past or you'd like to hear as part of the show, and we'll reach out to them as we go on week to week.
Yeah, and keep in mind, like, you know, we love doing this show, but we are also lazy beings of many things to do. And knowing that Andrew was unavailable, it lay upon Justin and I and our fabulous guest, Bonnie Brushwood, to figure out when and how to do that. It was easy to kind of push into the background, and hearing the repeated and loud cries and protests of, why are you not doing Weird Things at this moment? It actually did mean a lot to us.
Yeah.
Brian, the holodeck is coming true.
What?
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What?
Does that mean that finally we're going to have our amazing, was it Dukakis and Bush that ended with the holodeck? Which one ended with the holodeck? It was the monsters.
No,
it was the monsters.
That was the racist time machine story.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one. Yes. Sorry. So we're that much closer to racist time machine?
Close. Bonnie, how familiar are you with the holodeck concept from Star Trek: The Next Generation on?
Okay, that's where you can be in another location and then have a 3D image of you being projected. No, that's not the holodeck. Are you?
You
want
to know what? Let's take this opportunity to explain to Bonnie what the holodeck is.
I thought
is.
A hologram.
No, that's a hologram.
Okay, but this is where you get zapped to the planet, or no?
No,
that's a transporter.
Oh, no.
You know what's funny? I did not.
No. Let's go ahead. Explain what the holodeck is.
I remember.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, because I remember the one where George Picard.
George Picard, what did he do?
George Picard.
People say to me, they say, Jerry, listen, you got to command yourself a Star Trek. And so I'm like, all right, I'm George Picard. What am I going to do?
Wait, did I get the wrong name? Mr. Picard?
Keep going.
Okay.
I'm Larry Picard.
Okay. Dude Picard.
Dude Picard.
He shows up. And
Dude
like
Picard
this...
would be in like the Star Trek like Muppet Babies kind of spinoff.
Dude Picard would be my brother. He would be like an overweight, balding version, even baldier version of Jean-Luc Picard.
And Jay is Red Skull.
Jean-Luc.
And so he doesn't have. He's more interesting dumb. To make everybody laugh than Aww. Actually leading on the Enterprise.
Right.
All right, so George Picard interacted with the holodeck.
Sorry. Fans, I actually like the show. It used to
All work. Right, so anyway, Charles Xavier shows up, and what does he do?
Stop. Stop making me feel bad. Okay, but then it was in reference to a holodeck.
What is a holodeck? Explain it to someone like they ain't never seen Star Wars.
Okay. It is where you are in like a big room and it has TV projection all around you, but it makes you feel like you're actually there. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah. So you can go to Swampland and wrestle a
thank goodness
wrestle a alligator and then be like, whoa, sure was fun.
Okay, don't you feel like you would be terrified?
Like, that was a better plot than most of the holodeck episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay, but like, okay, so assuming you're on.
But they had, like, one where, like he was kind of, like, trapped in it. Or something.
By one you mean all of them.
All of them.
No, it was like constantly like, we're trapped again in the holodeck.
There's two holodeck episodes. We're trapped in the holodeck, or we don't realize that we're in the holodeck.
Yes.
There's really only two holodeck episodes.
Well, the thing is, it's like, would you be paranoid if you're, let's say you're a crewer on the Enterprise and you file for your one afternoon off, and then it's like you go to like fill out what you want the holodeck to do. Don't you feel like you're going to be judged on it? And like, you know, like bodies there, like, I want to go to swamp land.
And then next thing you know, she's walking down the halls and you're like, hey, look at Swampy McGee over there.
Yeah, exactly.
That really ought to be. I think you get to program it yourself. I think you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, let's pretend that
nobody
that was
hacks
practical.
Into it. And
sure. Yeah.
Everybody. Like, there's not a video feed.
Oh, dude,
you
know that it's like they set up like, you know, hey, if anyone ever goes to Swampland, get ready for the 8-legged lady of Lays. And they're like, what's that? You're like, oh, it's just something I threw in the Swampland narrative. And then it's like, you know, the 8-legged lady of Lays is just like, I have 6 vaginas. And then,
well, because somebody's got to write it, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's true.
So it's not like, I mean, I guess because the holodeck wasn't just completely free flowing. It wasn't like it was just reading and like live dynamic programming a situation based on your imagination, right?
Right. Well, there was also, I mean, it depended because like the whole. All of those Sherlock Holmes Moriarty episodes were built because like Geordi gave it the program. This is what it means to program in Star Trek is, hey, computer, I don't know, why don't you make a bad guy that's hard for Data to figure out? And give him all my authority, Geordi Picard.
Yeah, Dixon Hill, by the way, was the that was the detective character of Jean-Luc Picard.
Can we just decide that everyone's last name was Picard on that show? There's Geordi Picard.
No, Brian.
Worf
can't.
Picard.
No.
Counselor Troy Picard. Data Picard.
Are getting ever closer. There's a video on weirdthings.com with Microsoft's Illumiroom.
Ooh.
And it shows us kind of how this is actually like technology that's really not far away. And as we are, I believe tomorrow, right, is the Xbox 360.
Oh, is it?
Or no, the Xbox whatever the new name is.
Yeah.
Announcement.
It better not. Okay. This will come out after the announcement. But just for the record, in case anyone was wondering, let me just state again how dumb the name 720 is. Because here's the thing. 360 for a name was very clever because it was only the second Xbox, and they figured out a way to get the word 3 somewhere into the title so it would compare to the PlayStation 3, right? So it's the Xbox 360, right? Here's the thing. 360 conveys, you can see all the way around you. It conveys perfect panorama. 720 means one of two things. Either you're spinning around in circles going nowhere, as in 720 degrees, or it means 720p, which is the crappier of the two high-definition standards.
Ooh.
Fiery words from Brian Brushwood about a company that couldn't even name their crappy operating system Metro because they didn't look up whether or not somebody owned the name Metro, which is in itself a crappy name.
It's a really good name. I mean, that's a good point. I mean,
they're not good at naming.
No.
Hopefully they are better at building a console, which seems to be the case.
Sure. Let's say they are.
But let's say, well, better than PlayStation, right?
No, PlayStation has the superior console. Like they PlayStation actually
it's like beta and VHS, right?
Sure.
Well, totally. Except both have survived.
Right.
Beta?
Beta has not. But like the PS3 and the Xbox 360.
Oh, no, now I get
both survived.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but no, the 360 Xbox outsells the PlayStation, right?
Oh, yes, but the PS3 is better hardware universally.
Sure. But that necessarily doesn't make, I mean, better hardware doesn't make a better system, right?
Well,
I mean, it could.
It certainly doesn't necessarily mean a more popular system. How about that?
Yes. There we go. Microsoft has debuted, and this is something that, legendary is the Microsoft research projects and how cool they are. And also legendary is how rarely we see some of the amazing things that are demoed come to life in any kind of consumer sense. But I believe that it would be very awesome if this Illumiroom stuff did hit some kind of the consumer space. Have you seen these videos, Brian? This was earlier in the month.
Okay, I'm gonna just search ILL.
Go to weirdthings.com. On the front page right there, you'll see it. But basically what it does is it takes, has a couple different settings, but it can project things around, basically like on the full wall that you are playing your game on. Like your television is up against the wall, and then you turn down the lights, and it can project either other elements outside your field of vision that will come right from the game. It can make everything super dark and give you certain artifacts, but it just brings you even further into the gameplay experience. I can't believe that you haven't seen this, and I'm going to continue to fill time until this Assassin's Creed pre-roll.
I was actually going to compliment you on how amazing you did right there. Yeah, we're looking at it right now. It's the Illumiroom CES stuff, Microsoft Research, imagining what comes next. Basically, this is like the equivalent of I can't even think straight. It's the TVs that like match the color.
The Oculus, I think, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, imagine that idea kind of taken to the next level and being interactive with what your system, the information your system is giving it. So like what Brian is watching right now is a first person shooter where your television is only the tightest, field of vision, and everything else on your wall is actually the rest of the map.
Yeah, it's a bit I don't know. It's a bit loosey goosey. Like the stuff, it's like setting up a projector on the backside. I think it would be good for like catching stuff in the periphery of your vision.
It does enhance, like even if it's not perfect, like having a field of vision the size of your wall.
Sure.
Definitely changes your experience, right?
Yeah. Yes. No. I agree. Like, okay, let me state clearly that there's no part of me that wouldn't prefer to have this over whatever the default experience is. This,
like, just your television.
Yes.
What you would understand to be interacting with your video game console.
I just question how good, like how popular this will be, how useful it will be.
Well, there's no sense that it will ever see the market.
Yeah.
So, like the doubting of its consumer abilities is kind of moot until anybody decides to sell it or Microsoft decides to sell it on any level.
It is okay, Bonnie. Let me put it this way: $500. Are you going to let me set that up in the living room? Now, keep in mind, it will not change the game itself. Won't change the movie itself, won't change anything about the core experience, but you will fill more of the periphery of your vision. It'll be like adding extra bass to whatever it is we're doing.
I just want to know if it would make Game of Thrones dragons look like they're flying around you.
Sure.
That's the problem, is that this is a video game interaction module.
It really isn't
a movie interaction module, because unless movies start giving systems like this all this extra data to say that, like, no, you should have the in let's say a Game of Thrones scene where Daenerys is sailing, that like the Game of Thrones, the DVD or HBO would give this system, other waves and, like clouds and stuff like that to project, then you're really only relying on game systems, which are already generating a map and are kind of just showing you where you are as part of it.
Meh.
Oh, dude. So like if it ain't movies, then screw it, huh?
No, I mean, It's just, I'm not into games. So I just go by you. Like, if you were like really into it, I'd be like, whatever.
See, this is, I thought Brian Christmas. Was going to be the one in on this because I'm not really a huge video game guy. Bonnie's not a big video game girl. And Brian, you are the video, you speak for the trees have no tongues.
I do.
I thought this was going to be your jam.
Okay, here's the problem is that it's a mushy middle. The problem is my excitement is all on the Oculus Rift right now. Like, that's where the buzz is. Like, if what I want is a visually enhanced experience where a game world fills up my peripheral vision, it's not going to be with this kind of half measure. It's like the Oculus Rift is the science, man. That's the real work.
Well, okay, yeah. But, I mean, that's – all right. Let me put it like this then. Let's say in the 720 or whatever they're going to call it announcement tomorrow for Xbox,
right,
they say fundamentally – the way you've understood plugging in your console is going to be different. That, like, now your console will be, or we're going to package this in as part of it. You just get it as part of the new Xbox when you buy it, just because they want to differentiate themselves from the other, you know, from the new PlayStation and the Wii U and everything. That you just get this as part of the Xbox. Are you setting it up?
Yes. Totally, 100% without hesitation. In fact, like, I'm the guy, let me take you back in time, Justin Robert Young. I don't know if you remember, but yeah. But what was the one video game that you and I bonded as friends on at the very beginning of our relationship?
Sewer Shark.
No, Sewer Shark, well, that was Genesis with
that
the
was Sega,
Sega CD.
CD,
yeah.
I don't know. What was it that we bonded over?
I'll give you a hint. It was on corporate property.
Oh, Rock Band.
That's right. And yeah. Rock Band had this light kit that you could buy that came out for like 20 minutes. And I don't know where they are, where you could get them. But basically, you would plug it into the USB thing. You would set up these LED deals and it would, along with the pre-programmed light shows that were in Rock Band, it would coordinate these actual, you know, freaking changing light things or whatever. And, like, I couldn't find them. Like, I was like, this is amazing. I want one. And I couldn't buy them anywhere, and they weren't available. So it's like the fact that I wanted to buy lights that would go off and on, compare that to it's like having that experience with Rock Band in a room where my whole room's coming alive with, like light shows. Yeah, dude. 100%.
So really, your hesitation is just that you don't want to seem like this is the future. It's not the future. And I don't think anybody is saying it's necessarily the future. And it's certainly not. I mean, the holodeck element is more in the idea that the holodeck wasn't anything more than a room. You know, it was a room that transformed around you without having to put on things on your face.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And so that is what this is trying to be, not necessarily the future of virtual reality.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Absolutely correct. That's my only hesitation. But still, like, as an extra enhancement thing, I think it would look amazing. You know, there's limitations also, because this would be projection. It would also mean that, you know, it would only work in a dark room and all these other things. But again, like, I do feel like it would provide that novel experience that that I think we all seek with our consoles.
Well, and the cool thing is that apparently it's all automatic setup because of the Kinect. It's basically using the Kinect sensors.
Right.
So it just scans the room, finds out where your television is, where to place everything around it, and then generates all those different sort of patterns based on it recognizing what is in your room, which
now,
is pretty
now
cool.
What about you? Okay, now you are not a heavy duty video game guy. Would you?
By heavy duty, you mean not at all.
Okay, look, it's not like you were the head writer on a video game show and weren't playing any video games. Or
no.
Was it?
I was. I was definitely. Okay. Hung out with Veronica, Maker Faire, by the way.
How's Veronica doing?
Tell you what, it'd be really. I got a little goosed after hanging out with Veronica. I'm like, man, tell you what, this would be the year to get the band back together for some sort of game on project.
Dude.
Because, like, I mean, you would agree, maybe the most important year in video games.
Oh my God, no! It's the beginning of the next generation, man. It's like video games
and
got
we
renewed.
Don't know what it is.
Like, video
it's not
games.
Like previous
video
games, generations have always been either like more hardware, just like the Moore's Law stuff. Like, hey, we can generate things that look better and go faster and hold more data.
Yeah.
This is like a fundamental, we have no idea what video games are really going to be. And much like the death of Superman, there are many suitors.
Yes.
You know, there's like mobile, virtual reality, PC, and every which one goes in opposite direction.
Video games as an idea just got renewed for another season, and nobody knows what they have in store for us.
It's like Friday Night Lights, where like half the, or like 75% of the cast is gone, and now they're just like putting in new people, and you're like, I don't know, are these people going to be good? And then it turns out it's great.
Is it?
Oh, Friday Night Lights, aside from season 2, which has all the original cast and is not good, the rest of the seasons are amazing and fantastic.
See, because I heard that like season 3 was so terrible that I had to be afraid of it.
No, season 2 is the one you should be afraid of.
Okay.
Season 2 is the one that's super terrible because it got crippled by the writer's strike.
Right.
But
right.
This episode of Weird Things is not brought to you by Friday Night Lights. But rather, again, thank you everybody for sticking with the show, because we're going to keep it rocking. Just for you guys.
That's right.
Yeah, man. That time that you were thinking that you didn't amount to nothing and that your love for the show wouldn't mean anything. Well, guess what? It does. So you're wrong and we're right. Thank you for supporting us.
So I'm going to take this down a little bit, guys. I'm going to make it a little bit more somber.
Okay. Oh. Bless you.
There's been a lot of tragedy. Over the last, and as there always is around the world, there's horrible things that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Horrible tragedies.
Somber.
That is my favorite. If you were to encapsulate why I love Brian and Bonnie as a couple, it's that 4 seconds of audio of me trying to set a somber tone, Brian yelling and screaming, and Bonnie just immediately shutting him up with a very, very, very experienced veteran move of shh.
Sorry. Apparently I misread the situation. I apologize. Apparently I
Let me
that.
Take you guys back. 1919, there was a disaster.
Oh, that was the earthquake, San Francisco, right?
This is not the disaster I'm talking about. It happened in the city of Boston. Would you guys like to hazard a guess?
It was a massacre. That was the Boston Massacre.
No, the Boston Massacre, for which touched off the Revolutionary War, did not happen in 1919.
Oh, no, I know this. This is Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Happened in Chicago and was the Chicago Fire. I would also like to point out that the disaster was not the fact that Mrs. O'Leary had a cow.
Mrs. O'Leary. All right, I know this one.
It was Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper took place in London, and I'm no longer taking answers from you, Brian. Bonnie, what do you think? Just go ahead. And this is the way Weird Things goes. And I'm gonna set this up for you, since Brian apparently has forgotten how the podcast runs. And you don't just make wild guesses.
You forgot the format.
You edge things around, and then we play 20 question style until eventually you get close enough for me to tell you what it is.
I feel
so
like
Bonnie, start the guessing.
Let's see how dumb Bonnie is. Now, what is it again? Like, when was
it? It's in Boston. 1919, and it's a tragedy.
And you're not going to know it. Like, it's something that is a bit weird.
In case, in case you forgot, I'll tell you what. You're watching Weird Things.
Oh, okay.
Number one,
outbreak?
I'm going to give you guys a couple characters.
Oh, great. This is good. I'm ready.
Okay.
All right. Bonnie.
Yes.
And Brian.
Yeah.
You guys are not only a pair of married private detectives.
Okay.
But also invented a time machine for which you go back to various points in history and solve crimes, as well as getting into hilarious cultural exchanges with bygone customs.
All right, listen. Here's the thing. We've talked about this for a while.
Yes.
We wanted to solve crimes.
Okay.
I came up with the name for our agency.
Oh, I can't wait.
We're the Bicker Sisters. It's a great name. The Bicker Sisters.
Wait, I thought we were husband and wife.
And in fact,
team.
We are, of course. But
why are you?
I mean,
is there something you need? It's Bill.
I can play a character. I can play female just fine.
Is there something you want to tell me?
We can have the Bicker Sisters, and you could take orders with our vicar. So we'd have the vicar and the Bicker Stickers. And we could solve crimes.
Okay.
So Brian and Bonnie, both dressed in period female clothing.
Yes. Okay.
As the Bicker Sisters get yes. into their time machine. What's your time machine?
It's hard to describe. I guess the easiest
it's
way to put
cart.
It was would be a camouflage.
A bicycle built for two.
Yes.
Actually, that's a great idea.
No, that's my favorite.
We get on a tandem bike and we pedal real hard. We have to get to 8 miles an hour. And when we get to 8 miles an hour, we go back 8.8 miles per hour. We go back into the past.
Do you have to sing Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do?
Yes.
And it has to get distorted as you go have through to, the...
Yes. Whoa. And in fact, like that's we don't like to make a big deal about it, but remember that time we visited... Arthur C. Clarke, and then we pedaled off. Like, that's, we don't want to say that's why that scene was in 2001, but we definitely want to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You've arrived in Boston in 1919.
Just
you were now trying to figure out what went on. The people are in a real state of panic. No one can really talk to you. How do you investigate?
We go immediately to an opium den because I heard they're still legal right now. So I'll be at the opium den. You look for Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
What?
And we're good.
What?
Bada bing. Also, there's a medicine show. They've got cocaine.
Okay.
Bonnie, what do you look for first?
It's
strung out in an opium den while a Chinese man draws on his face.
He draws Chinese wieners on my face.
I'm looking for somebody who will ride this bicycle with me. And leave Brian
to abandon
ass.
Brian in 1919? Shame on you.
Okay.
Where do you go?
Where do I go? I go to the hospitals.
For what? What are you looking for?
Clues?
Well, Bonnie, you find
Beth
at the hospitals. 150 people injured, 21 people confirmed dead.
Whoa.
I show up.
Yeah! Time travel, am I right?
What's going on, baby? What's up? You figure something out?
Huh?
Hey, man.
Hey,
there's
man.
There's a closet over there. You want to get in a closet of sister-on-sister action?
Oh, Brian.
Okay. The face of the patient. The patient and annoyed dismissal. All right.
Man, Bonnie had the first lead in this case. She made the first correct decision, and Brian immediately ran in to just spoil any momentum.
Spoil everything. Tell me how many people injured again.
21 dead, 100 and something injured. Look, wow. Man, I saw all that stuff. You don't understand. When I get high, like, I see everything.
I think something collapsed. That's my theory.
You think there's collapsural damage?
My grandmother was...
I can tell you that nothing collapsed, but structural integrity was certainly an issue in what happened.
Was this... This wasn't like the Booker T. Washington, like the someone yelling fire and stumbling. It wasn't a riot-based thing, right?
No, not primarily. That was not the instigator. I'm sure that there was bedlam and panic in the streets once it happened, but it was not in a confined space or anything.
I don't know. My grandma was 10.
Is there anyone we could talk to? Who do we see around that we can interview?
There is the mayor of Boston.
Okay, the mayor's here.
The mayor.
Hey, the mayor. The mayor.
Yes.
No,
it's me, the mayor.
Uh-oh.
The mayor. Hey, man. First of all, nice town.
It's going crazy right now. Get out of here, you jerk.
Okay, hold on.
Why are you dressed like a woman?
Wait. I have a guess.
What?
It was gas leaks.
Oh, leak.
It was a leak?
An optimum word. There was something leaked, but it was not gasoline.
Hmm.
All right, Mr. President, Listen, we come
I'm
from
the mayor.
I know, but I mean, for now, let me just say I'm from the future. And if I were you, I'd be thanking me for the idea that I just put in your head. Listen, here's the thing, Mr. President. We need to know what's going on here. What was the disaster?
Right, literally. I know we haven't done the podcast in a couple of weeks.
I forgot how to weird things. So now I'm just like, wait, why are we talking in circles? What's going on here?
So is there some kind of a boating accident?
Was there a boating accident? How do you respond to allegations that there was a boating accident?
It's not a boating accident.
Oh, okay. So something's leaking.
It had nothing to do with the water.
Structural
how do
damage.
You explain the missing train?
But it wasn't.
There wasn't a missing train.
That's a good way to explain it, Your Honor.
Oh, wait.
Miss Bickers.
I haven't. Is this anything to do with prohibition stuff?
Yeah. Does this. Question, Miss Your Honor. Does this have anything to do with prohibition?
Is this revealing how dumb I am?
No. Believe you me, you are the only sister who is providing any kind of substance to this segment.
Okay. All right, yeah. Quit dodging the question, Your Honor.
It was not prohibition related.
Okay.
But it was. It did occur at a distilling company.
Oh.
At a distilling company. Yeah, was there a fire?
No.
Was there drowning?
Quite possibly. Drowning, yeah.
Now, when you say distilling, we're talking about booze, right? Just so we're on the same line?
No.
What else can you distill?
Ooh. Many things, but it happened at the Purity Distilling Company.
Oh. Purity Distilling Company. This is all right. Get that baby on mic. She's gonna make those noises. They need to be.
No, don't get derailed.
Okay.
Distilling.
Is it? Is it water?
No, it was not water.
Oh. Is it
hydrogen?
Were you distilling hydrogen?
Hydrogen was not being distilled.
Okay,
no.
Now I'm dumb.
They had hydrogen back then.
No,
that wasn't the dumbest thing.
What I was thinking about the
was there some kind of like okay you say it happened okay
gasoline?
There was there an explosion? Was there an explosion?
Certainly. An explosion could probably be used to describe what happened, but it was not it didn't involve explosives. Like it wasn't a dynamite or anything like that, or any kind of compressed gas.
Huh? So there wasn't. Okay. So what exploded then?
I mean, think explosion more in just action and not necessarily like something exploded.
Okay. So now we're going to go quiz at the prayer groups that have met.
At the prayer groups?
Yeah, because you know
the opium den. If
the owner, the owner's wife is.
So wait, hold on. You go to a prayer group and you're sort of hanging around and you're like, so what you guys praying for?
They tell you right away. That's why all the buzz of this happening.
Oh, so you're saying
there are no prayer groups. Bonnie, this is a ghost town. This area that you are in right now, there is nobody. The mayor was there, and then he left. You are left to figure this out by yourself.
Oh,
this is a good idea. Yeah. Okay, so let's can we go
as I furiously try to bat you guys away from looking for a direct answer to this. And instead, implore you yet again to do what we've always done with this podcast and just try to surmise this based on evidence that I'll give you if you ask for it.
Okay, so let's go to the scene of the
explosion. I think
he distilled
gasoline.
Was there a gasoline explosion? No,
it wasn't a
previously. Gasoline was not involved.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Can we
water
can we go closer to where we hear the howls of misery?
There is no house of misery. You've come in after everything has gone on.
Right.
But if you want to go to where the explosive event happened, is the Purity Distilling Company.
How long did it take?
Okay, we're here. What do we see around?
You see a bunch of, let's see, what would they be called? I want to say casks. Tanks. Huge tanks. 50 feet tall tanks.
Holy crap. Like, wow. Destroyed?
That can handle 2,300,000 gallons.
I'm sorry. It sounded like you said they could hold 2 million gallons.
Yeah. 2,300,000
gallons. Okay, so gallons. We're looking at, we got giant tanks that are destroyed that probably held 2 million tanks. And by the way, like 2 million is like when you go to, like, you know, Wave World, and they got those wave pools, Schlitterbonds.
That's what they're just
like. Like
vinegar.
That's one of those. Like a wave pool is what we're talking about.
Okay.
You think it's vinegar?
Yeah. Why not?
Because it's a distillery?
Yeah.
All right. Is it vinegar?
No. But you've just noticed that the floor and everywhere that you've been walking around is very sticky.
Oh, shoot. Ooh. I know what this is now.
What is it?
I read about this when I was a kid. Yeah. I didn't know it was in Boston.
Oh,
I'm out. I'm like, so long, Bonnie. And I pedal on the bike and I vanish and you're left to solve it by yourself.
Oh, no, you're so mean. It's sticky.
And then I come back and I'm like, you can solve it. And then I leave again.
Is it honey? Is it?
No, but I will say this. A witness comes by and says that all they heard was a loud rumbling sound like a machine gun. And then the ground shook as if a train were passing by.
And 23 people died. 150 were injured in this moment.
Whoa. There's a rumbling.
Now, that would be a lot of
Winnie
bees.
The Pooh.
You wouldn't use a distillery to wait, why did you just say Winnie the Pooh?
Because there's honey involved in a rumbly in my tumbly.
That's legit. All right, good point.
Okay.
It wasn't honey, but I think Brian, you were close enough. I think you have it. What was the event? What is your guess?
Okay, there's something I read in the 1980s. I read in the Book of Lists.
Oh.
A disaster.
Okay.
And I can't remember if it was syrup or molasses, but there was a giant vat that just exploded and drowned people and killed people.
Seriously?
Was that in Boston? Is that what,
it
am I right?
It was indeed molasses from the Purity Distilling Company at about 2:30 in the afternoon near Kearney Square. At a 529 Commercial Street, a huge molasses tank, 50 feet tall, 90 feet in diameter, and containing as much as 2,300,000 gallons, collapsed. It created an immense wave of molasses, estimated to be between 8 and 15 feet high, moving at 35 miles an hour and exerting a pressure of 2 tons per foot.
Like that's the kind of that hits you and you just die. Like it knocks you out and slams your head in the concrete and then you drown in molasses.
God.
Just to give you a sense of how much pressure this was, it was enough to damage the girders of the adjacent Boston Elevated Railway's Atlantic Avenue structure and tip a railroad car momentarily off the tracks.
Whoa.
Nearby buildings were swept off their foundations and crushed. And several blocks were flooded to death, flooded to a depth of 2 to 3 feet.
Okay, whoa. So do we know what, like, I assume that because this happened in the 1800s, I just want to assume that there was no.
I thought you said 1900.
Or 1919, whatever. Right. Might as well have been a billion years ago. It's the dark ages of humanity. There's no regulations or any of that stuff. Like, I guess they assumed that he was like, keep filling it with more molasses. And then it just popped.
All right, here we go. Several factors occurred on that day and the previous days that might have contributed to the disaster. The tank was constructed poorly and tested insufficiently. And due to fermentation occurring within the tank, carbon dioxide production might have raised the internal pressure. The rise in local temperatures that occurred over the previous day would have also assisted in building the pressure. Right. And records show that air temperature rose from 2 degrees Fahrenheit to 41 degrees over that period.
Wow.
So a huge heat up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Global warming.
Here's the thing. None of us would have wanted. I'm just going to drop that. Yeah, I'm going to drop that like when the teacher calls it, like, Penelope's behavior has been really erratic. Like, yeah, I know. global warming, right?
Climate change, right?
I know.
Things
are heating up around here. And yeah. It's just like, yeah, that's what we're trying to tell you. No, I mean, the weather.
Now, you guys did mention prohibition. There is a conspiracy theory that the owners were overproducing and were filling the tank way more than they would otherwise because they knew prohibition was coming into effect and they were looking to make as much rum as possible before it became illegal. Unfortunately, Purity Distilling did not make rum. So
But you do use molasses to make rum.
You did. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Man, I'll tell you what. I sure am glad that we live in an age where we don't have to worry about giant waves of molasses
waves.
Killing us.
Wow. That's a little bit of trial and error.
That's kind of like some third world country stuff, right?
And then, Penny asked me, why do I got to learn math?
Yes. You know what? You should terrify her about molasses.
Yeah, let me tell you about molasses.
Like, how's that? How do those pancakes taste? They taste like the death of your grandparents. Your great-grandparents?
Great-grandparents.
Many people in the North End still say that on hot summer days, you can smell molasses. Because
no
it is still
way.
Yet.
Is that for reals? That's
the
hard
ghost,
to believe.
I mean, it's for real that people say it.
I don't believe molasses.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Let's do picks.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what. I'll jump in first. Man, am I ever on a book-reading bender right now. I'm going to just tell you the three books that I just read in the last week and a half. And first of all,
and of course, you were saying "read" in air quotes, right?
Okay, don't do that. It's like Audible is better than printed words. Printed words are dumb, slow, stupid. And
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that it deserves to not be lumped in with stupid things like reading idiot books.
Well done. Actually, that's a really good point. Okay, so the books I've read, and I'm going to say read. Because that's all that mattered. They're in my brain now. Incognito, about the way the brain works, makes the compelling argument that what we perceive as us in charge of our brain and our mind is actually this roughly the equivalent of a child's king who takes credit for everything good that happens in the land and having no idea of the amazing systems that are established underneath that make the real decisions that matter. And there's a lot of scientific evidence and arguments for proving that basically, like, what we perceive as us in charge is a total lie. And instead, our brain is a group of competing systems that all have the goal of running things effectively for the brain, but that really, you know, any one of them could run things. They just all argue with each other constantly, and that our consciousness sits on top. And then I also read The Master Switch. Man, I don't know if you can hear my daughter, but she's all kinds of grumbly groaning. She's, yeah, listen to that. What do you say, kiddo? and then I also read The Master Switch, which is about how information empires rise and fall. And it talks about the traditional way that you have an outsider who doesn't have a skin in the game. And he's the one who comes up with a new system. And then the old powers that be try to make it illegal. They try to discredit it and shut it down until eventually it becomes the standard. And then new boss, same as the old boss, and you move on. And then now I'm reading This Machine Kills Secrets about cypherpunks, WikiLeaks, and the rise of the importance of anonymity. What are you reading, Body?
Is there any reason why that second book would be of interest to you?
Which one? The Master Switch?
Yeah.
Why?
About somebody coming into the system and changing it up. And
changing
people
it.
Are like, we don't like you for doing that.
Man, I hope there is no relationship there because it doesn't end well for those guys. Those are the guys that get shut down and destroyed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wish I had read the book before I started doing that.
What are you reading, Bon?
Well, I am enjoying Zombies Run again.
The app?
The app. Yes. They tell little stories and then they integrate your music.
So you're finally running.
I'm running. I am. I can run. Now my joints don't fall out of position because I'm no longer pregnant. So everything is good.
So you're doing, how far in a zombie's run did you get before you had the baby?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to hear any spoilers, but I think I'm about halfway through, basically. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's an actual narrative. Like, I think you got way past me. I think I only got to where, like, you heard about the other town.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm definitely past you. And it's fun. It's a fun experience. And now that I'm getting back into my routine, I had to turn the zombies off because I was almost caught too many times. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so give me another week or two and I'll be back
Justin, faster form. Did you ever play Zombies Run?
I did, and I really, really enjoyed it. I thought, I was hoping that it was going to be more of a precursor to a whole genre of kind of narrative fitness apps, because, like, I really feel like, as much as I kind of like that, I was a little bit, and I don't know whether, I'm sure it was user error, that I kind of found the mechanism for me getting caught by the zombies to be a little wonky, because, like,
it's like all you had to do was speed up when they're behind you, right?
Well, it's also like I and again, I'm sure this is user error, but, like, I would be, like, jogging, and then, like, when it was, like, zombie time, I would, like, speed up a little bit once and I would get away from them, and then, like, another time I was, like, in a dead sprint, like, and I still got caught by them. And so it was like I found that a little inconsistent. Yeah. But
yeah.
But other than that, I really liked it. And I was hoping that we were gonna get, like, our Rocky underdog sports narrative, you know, kind of thing. Or you know,
that'd be cool.
Yeah. So I hope that those come out, but I love the idea, specifically because as a youth growing up in Florida and going to many, many, many theme parks, there's a soft spot in my heart for, like, that kind of, like, jungle boat narration. Like, sure. I really do. Like,
well,
I like
and actually, you know, once you finish, like, the narrative slice, it goes into just kind of a generic, like, it plays your audio tracks, and then you have these two lovable DJs who come in. And they do some things I thought were really cool. Like, first of all, like, the two DJs happen to be two guys who are a couple, but they don't, like, overplay it at all. Like they awesomely understate it. Like, it's about as interesting as if it was, you know, two black DJs or whatever. And then they also drop references. They're all like, for the 99% or whatever. And they're like, because I like to keep it relevant. See what I did there? And then it's like they're joking on trends that, granted, the, you know, came out 2 years ago or whatever, when the Occupy movement was huge. But, like, even as they were dropping these very current references, they were rolling their eyes at them as if they were super old references.
Right. Yeah. So that's pretty fun. So I'm doing that. I'm reading parenting books, which I'm not really... I don't know.
Holla,
I'm reading about.
Holla.
Yeah, I'm reading about.
Okay, now what do you learn? Like, do they read, like, VCR manuals, like, to program stuff?
Well, it's just frustrating because they all say the same thing, and then just like, just be loving and isn't
like, just be awesome all the time. That's all, like, you have to do.
I don't know. I haven't.
They're not amphibians,
right? So, oh, but specifically, you know, I've got two girls that are fighting a lot, and then how to get them on each other's team, and then is what I'm trying to chase down right now. But like, today was really good though. They fought a little bit, but mostly they were like, "Yay, team us!"
I'll tell you what, the Hunger Games seemed to work well, like, not the book, but the actual thing, because the older sister really stuck up for the younger sister on that one, and then went to the Hunger Games.
That's a good point. That worked out. Yeah, so maybe if we are in a dystopia world setting and they have to keep each other alive.
Excuses, Bonnie. Yeah, that's all we're hearing, Addie.
What about you, man? What are you doing?
All right. I am going to say that my pick is going to be Star Trek.
What? Oh, Into Darkness?
Yeah.
We talked about this a bit last night.
Mm-hmm. I know. I heard every bit of it.
I thought I swore that I was like half whispering, and I went outside at first.
Yes.
And then I went to the garage, the whole thermite
debacle?
Well, okay, yes.
Yeah, that's, okay.
Okay, apparently
outside
the backside
just means I hear you louder.
Yeah, all right.
So, yeah.
Anyways. So I'll tell you what. I really, really, really enjoyed Star Trek. I know it's one of those movies that, like, if you're not into it for either, like, the super Star Trek-y nerd reasons of, like, I hate how this interacts with this other story, which it certainly does, or you just don't buy the fact that there are, like, kind of wonky character motivation issues and some odd plot holes that just kind of pop up, then I totally understand. I understand both those arguments. This is not a you have to be crazy to not like this movie kind of argument. I just really, really like the movie. And I found it to be honest, tighter paced than the first one. I thought that it was a tighter thrill ride for me, and I really, really loved it.
I'll tell you what, man, and I will be the first to admit that it's my own fault that I didn't get swept up into this one the way I did the first one. But I know for a fact that the first one, I full on cried with tears running down my face within 5 minutes of the beginning of the first one, and didn't get anywhere near that on the second one. But regardless, the second one was good, though. Like I agree. Like, whatever missed connection, I felt like I'm the one who missed the flight emotionally on it. I blame myself entirely. They did everything correctly. Like, every single editorial, directorial decision they made, even the writing decisions, everything they did was 100% right. But for whatever reason, I just missed the boat on it. So, like, I think I'm going to go watch it again with Bonnie to see if it hits me better the second time.
Well, and I think the point that is kind of been lost in sort of the discussion of the larger Trek mythos.
Sure.
Is that this is a story not that is not supposed to be parallel to and all right. You want to know what? We're going to end the podcast, then we're going to talk spoiler stuff so people can not listen to it if they don't want to.
Sure.
Let's actually wrap it up here. Bonnie, where can people follow you online?
Yeah, I had a little bonus section.
Oh, yes. Kids are weird. Let's do kids are weird.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Wait, I forgot.
So for every week that Bonnie is on the show, we're going to debut a new segment where it's kids are weird, where Bonnie's going to talk about some weird thing the kids did. So before we end, this is going to be the back of the book kind of stuff. We're going to be done with all the other weird conversations. If for some reason you're not into it, you're like, ew, kids, then you can stop listening.
Like, more right. Like, kids are gross. Am I right? Moo. She's like, well, that was this week's episode.
Kids are weird by Bonnie Brushwood. Bonnie,
okay. So I'm going to take you on a little journey. Okay, we're going to start. Imagine you are warm and happy. You're living with your brothers and sisters.
Okay.
And it's really dark. You live in the dark.
All right.
That's okay. But then, I guess you're a girl, okay? So you're a girl.
Makes sense.
And at some point, I don't know, this is too weird.
Keep going. Suddenly, you come out of my vagina. Me, Bonnie Brushwood.
No. And so, you take a little journey because you are about to give birth. You're going to experience this miracle of birth.
Sure.
Isn't it amazing?
Makes
so you
sense.
travel to the light. You make this travel for some reason. You've always been in the dark, but for some reason you see the light and you go towards it. You lay your eggs, and then you hope a creature comes along and eats them.
What?
That's right. For when they are consumed, they live again.
What are you talking about? Oh my God, I just realized what you just set up. Body, you're evil. Justin, do you know what you just had described to you?
No.
The life cycle of pinworms.
Right. Yeah, very common childhood infestation amongst preschoolers.
Okay, look, you tapped into this. You're gonna tell the full story.
What?
Me walking into the room in the middle of the night and Bonnie with a flashlight bit between her teeth, looking in the nether regions crack of our baby, looking for squirmy wormies.
You can never unsee it. It's awful. But if you're... the lesson to take from
they
all
crawl
this...
Out, why would they crawl out at night? That's the part I don't get. It's like in their life cycle. It's like, look, be smart. Stay inside. But instead, like built in their life cycle, and like at 2 a.m., we're going to have a party on the porch. And then they all come out. And then they all strut their stuff and dance around.
Well, this is why I want to call them. I want to call them the sun don't shine bugs, because.
Wow, that's you may want to work with your marketing team on that one.
Because light actually deteriorates and kills them and stuff. So maybe
now, aren't
that's
you supposed
why they...
to like take a piece of cellophane tape and put it on someone's pooper?
Well, that's one way of.
And then catching them?
Trying to catch them, I guess. It's just, I don't know. I just can't imagine.
Okay, what was the point of this story?
Well, that was kids do the weirdest thing.
Kids, in this case, kids are gross. But I would like to say.
We need to rebrand it.
People follow you.
But here.
Pinworms69 on Twitter.
I don't know. I was thinking, okay, let me just tidy this up a little bit. I was thinking about the way Andrew tells these stories with these, you know, like you took us on these journeys, and I thought I'd take you on a little journey.
That happens. We're going to need to put a button in this one, though, and hope that it doesn't leak worms.
So that's why I really wanted it to be at the end so you could edit it out.
By the way, Pinworm69 only tweets between 2 and 3 a.m.
I just think when we're going to go this specific with the kid malady stuff, we're going to have to just keep it brief. We just can't.
Yeah, brief.
Like Brian wanted to go Charlie Rose on your child's bunghole and the various worm colonies that live inside of it. Well, we're going to need to stop it right there. Brian, what do you have to.
I wasn't going to make it so personal.
Beside your child.
Only one thing, and that's NSFW's comedy album, Night Attack to Enjoy the Garden.
Yeah.
Available on places where things are.
Oh, I'm at Invisible Wife. There you go.
At Invisible Wife. And my name is Justin, at Justin Young on Twitter. Until next week, it's been weird.
You have a bird on you. I got a baby.
I have a bird on me. All right, so here we go. This is going to begin the Star Trek Into Darkness spoilers. If you do not want Star Trek Into Darkness spoiled, then please stop listening. Minor spoilers, and I'm sure people will be able to guess it. The villain of this movie is not random name John Harrison, Brian. But is, in fact, Khan Noonan Singh, the villain of Wrath of Khan and Space Seed, which brings me to the point that I read about today from Damon Lindelof, that you should think of this movie not as a replacement for Wrath of Khan, but rather for a replacement of Space Seed.
Yeah, that's. I thought I had that exact same thought.
Hmm.
And that's where, when I mean, obviously, thematically as a movie, it hits the beats of Star Trek II. But in terms of how you're supposed to think about the character, it is more along the lines of that episode and not Wrath of Khan.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
All right. Well, I'm going to get baby to bed. So good night, everybody.
Take this baby.
So there we go. But I'll tell you what. I was a big fan of it. And more than that, here's what I want. Can we get a show I mean, like I said this after the first Star Trek. Can we just get another Star Trek on television? Can we take another spin at this? I mean, with Bad Robot at the helm, like, you know, putting their producers and talent behind it. Like, it's about time. When are we going to stop screwing around and get a Star Trek?
I don't know. Mainly because, I mean, first of all, J.J. Abrams, I don't know if you noticed, but he's got another project. I don't know if you heard about it. It's a sequel of sorts to Star Trek II called Star Wars Episodes 7 through 9.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, did you hear that they're doing Star Wars Rebels?
Yeah, I mean, all right. Like, it's just, I hope it's good. It's just kind of not exactly, I don't think it's necessarily for me, but I hope it's good.
Man, you don't think, like think of what they could do with Star Wars Rebels. Like, it was clear that the original Star Wars took place in essentially underneath a Nazi regime. And imagine what they could do before all that, when the Nazis are very much in charge and there's just this.
Okay, like, yes, but it's Disney XD. Like,
that, I mean, I don't mean, I mean, look, you're talking to a guy who deeply, deeply, deeply loves Avatar, The Last Airbender, and The Legend of Korra. It's like there is a strong precedent for cartoons that are marketed to kids that are still like really, really good.
I'm not saying that. In fact, and you're talking to a guy who's never really been able to connect with either of those shows for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that it's not going to be good. I'm not saying that those shows aren't good. I'm just saying that, I would be more interested personally in those shows having the creative freedom to tackle some of those issues that wouldn't necessarily have to be child safe. Although I'll say this, the one thing that, as much as I am a big fan of throwing in people's faces who are like, you're going to blow out Star Wars if you do two Star Wars movies a year. I like to throw the Marvel example in their face.
Sure.
But Star Wars has to prove to us that they can do non-Skywalker stories well. That on a big mass scale, they can tell stories that aren't about the Skywalker family in a compelling way. And Marvel has never had a problem with that. Thank you, Pinworm. Hopefully this is a good example of a non-Skywalker story being told well.
I hope so, too, because it's like...
Because it can't be about Darth Vader, right? Jesus. Darth Vader's like the least interesting.
Can I say full stop? Like, it's like... And I trust J.J. Abrams. If anyone can figure out a way to weave in Darth Vader again and make it not terrible, it would be J.J. Abrams. But I just default, I don't want to see any Darth Vader. I want to see zero Darth Vader, none whatsoever.
I agree. I would actually be kind of pissed off if Darth Vader was in any way involved in episodes 7 through 9.
Yep.
Like, I think it could be good, but I think I'm kind of personally sort of done with it.
Ugh.
I mean, like, I think there's more. I mean, reading the, the Thrawn stuff, there's certainly more to be done with, I mean, Luke and Leia and Han and everything. I mean, there can be interesting stuff there, but I think we've told about as complete an arc as we can with Anakin, right? Can we all agree that?
Yes.
That we've all seen way too much of Anakin Skywalker.
agreed. All right, I'm going to stop this recording now.